this is chapter 19, the last chapter of Strategy and the Fat Smoker. It's called Passion, People, and Principles. So what have we learned about how to overcome the fat smoker syndrome? How does an individual or an organization live up to its own highest standards, resisting temptation and keeping its eyes firmly fixed on the prize? A few of this book's key themes are identified and summarized here. For individuals and organizations to succeed, to get things done what they know they should be doing, they need to possess three things: passion, a sincere interest and understanding of people, and principles. First, passion. As we've seen, drive and determination, or passion, are the hallmarks of all successful individuals and businesses. Only where there's an almost inexplicable desire to achieve something new will people and institutions find the discipline to resist the short-term temptation to deviate from their chosen path. This passion may be innate in some individuals. Others will require skilled, effective managers to elicit and channel their energy and enthusiasm. Indeed, no organization is likely to be built on naturally self-sustaining dynamos alone. Skilled managers acting like coaches are an essential requirement for success. You could conclude, as I do, that creating and channeling energy is the predominant, if not sole, requirement in what distinguishes a great manager from a barely competent one. Give people just a goal and little will be accomplished. Leave it only to them to find self-discipline and most will fail to sustain high intensity. But place them in an environment where they are well-coached, with colleagues equally turned on, and contrary to
what many cynics might believe, the overwhelming majority of people of all backgrounds and educational levels will respond with enthusiasm and commitment. Sustained passion is a scarce, fragile phenomenon. It can be compromised by success itself. Why try so hard when so much has already been accomplished? By variably enforced standards. Why try so hard if others in the organization do not? Or by cynicism. Why try so hard when we don't really care about what we do or those for whom we do it? But without it, little success can be had. Next, people. Many of us come to realize, later in life than we should, that no matter what you want in life, what you want to obtain, riches, fame, respect, the chance to work on exciting things, loyal and supportive employees, collaborating colleagues, even friendships and love, all of these things come from other people. Success, no matter how you define it, is attainable only by persuading another person, a boss, a client, a colleague, a subordinate, a friend or loved one, to give you what you want. Understanding people, one by one, not in the mass, and how they react to you as an individual is not an optional skill, it's an essential skill. Now, this doesn't make any of this easy. Most of us receive training for and development of our logical, rational, and analytical skills. But few of us have been substantially helped in the development of our interpersonal, psychological, emotional, political, social, or sociological skills. What a mixture. If we are truly to distinguish ourselves as individuals or as institutions, we must make the investment in our diet and exercise programs in these areas that will help us achieve excellence in these areas of our lives. However, the conclusion is, I believe, even stronger than that. I believe it is only when we care about those we work with and for that we find the self-discipline to stay with the program. Caring for those we deal with is not only the outcome, the differentiation that gives us our success, but it is also the means. Third, principles. The third ingredient that helps people and organizations execute their strategies and actually achieve their goals is a sincere belief in a set of principles. As I have done at various times earlier in the chapters of this book or in these podcasts, I have in the past tended to preface my remarks by saying such things as caring for your people and for your clients, these are not moral points, these are just good business tactics that will get you more of what you want. But you know what? I no longer try to say it that way. It actually has become increasingly clear to me that, as noticed in chapter 1, and as we have seen repeatedly throughout this book, people who are acting on principle, people who do treat these things as moral points, are actually much more likely to get things done when they say they will do them than those who are doing them solely in pursuit of future rewards. It turns out that if you treat something as a moral point, it actually has significant pragmatic outcomes. Perhaps more importantly, men and women who act on principle, and more importantly are believed to be acting on deeply held principle, attract customers, subordinates, and colleagues. Whether people know your principles and trust you is a major determinant of how they're going to respond to you. If I understand and trust your ideology and have confidence that you will live by it, then we can build one type of working relationship. Conversely, if I cannot understand you or do not trust you to live by a clear set of principles, then we may have a transaction but not a relationship. The same holds true, as we've seen in this book, at the managerial and organizational level inside organizations. The most effective organizations are those that are held together by shared and enforced principles, values, and standards. But organizations that have the courage to live by their declared standards are rare because of the fat smoker syndrome. Well, two out of three ain't bad, or is it? Do you really need all three of the elements, passion, people skills, and principles? I'm convinced that in life, careers, and business, you do require all three. If you have both passion and an understanding of how people work, but no fixed principles, then I think you're dangerous. You'll seduce a lot of people with your passion and your understanding of people, but you'll end up fooling them or betraying them. You'll be an exploiter. If you have passion and principles, but no understanding of how people work, you'll also draw a lot of people to your side, but the lack of organization will mean that it will all come to naught. Without an understanding of people, you'll neither build an organization nor earn clients and customers' trust. You'll be a firebrand. If you have principles and an understanding of people, but no passion, you'll be righteous but ineffective. Is any one of these elements more important than another? No. As my wife Kathy points out, the most important ingredient in any recipe is the one you forgot to put in. This has been the last and final chapter, chapter 19, Passion, People, and Principles, from my book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker. It brings to an end this series of podcasts. If you'd like to check out this or any of my previous series of podcasts, then please go to davidmaester.com/subscriptions or davidmaester.com/podcast. And if you want to be notified when new series are launched, go to davidmaester.com/subscriptions and I'll send you an email when new podcast series are about to begin. Thank you all very much for listening.